Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. I pray you are empowered to walk in the fullness of your God design. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember, enforcing purpose, it starts with you. And so I'm excited to be here. I think that the Lord carved out this space and this time. And so in that next day when I was praying, I really felt very strongly that the Lord was whispering to me a passage of scripture. And I started praying into that, and I felt like the Lord said, this is the word I want you to bring to this group. And so I say that because I want you to know I really feel like this is a very specific word. I feel like it's a specific word for this season. I think it's a specific word for women, but I think it's even a specific word for this group of women. I don't know anything about your church, and I don't need to know anything about your church because the Holy Spirit knows everything about where you guys are at, and that's all we need to know. And so when we tap into the Lord, he gives revelation, and he speaks in ways that I could never speak, and he brings messages that I could never think of. And so it's interesting because it was probably, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, and I just kind of held on to the word. I pondered it in my heart like it says about Mary, and then yesterday I just kind of started writing it out. And then today I just kind of typed it up. But I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then I'm going to take us to Song of Songs chapter 2. And I'm going to read the entire, I'm going to read the entire, because I have a hard time reading through scripture without preaching, but I'm going to try and get through the passage, and then I'm going to preach to you. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we honor you, we worship you, and we recognize your presence in this room. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you go before us, you are upon us, you are in us. We thank you, God, that you are the foundation upon which we walk, that you go before us as well, and you guard us from our rear. And so, Father, we thank you that even if we were to try and escape from your presence, where could we go to flee from you? God, even if we were to hide in the midst of darkness, even there you would pierce the darkness and light would pierce our darkness. And so, Father, we thank you for your love, that your love is upon us, your love is real, that your love is real. Come on, I'm just going to say it again, that your love is real. It's more real than anything I could ever know, God. I don't need to touch it. I don't need to feel it to know it. And so, God, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of encounters and the gift of touching and the gift of feeling. But beyond all of that, we declare that we know it. We know it, God. We know that you're a God of love. We know it, that you are a God who is true to who you say you are. We believe it even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. So I'm going to read through this passage. I do need my glasses to read this, and I'm going to take them off. I'm going to throw them across the room. Okay, so I'm in verse 8. I'm in chapter 2, verse 8. It says, the voice of my beloved. Now, this is the Shulamite, so this is the woman, okay? And she's speaking of her beloved. She said, the voice of my beloved. Now, I want you to remember, here I go, I'm already preaching. Do you remember that the beloved represents Jesus or God himself? We as the bride, and he is the bridegroom. We as the lover, or he is the lover and we are the beloved. She says, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, take hold of, capture this, that he stands behind our walls. Remember that. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. Now, this is the particular verse that the Lord spoke to me, and this is where the key message is going to come from. In verse 10, it says, my beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now, this passage doesn't necessarily say it, but in the original language, it says, come away with me. Come away with me. And it says, for lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and is gone, and the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes, and they give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff. Let me see your face. I love this. He's basically saying, don't be shy with me. Amen. Come on, be bold with me. Let me see your face. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is so lovely. And as I was reading through this, I really felt like the Lord was saying three things. One, that a new season has come. And I want you guys to say that, my new season has come. In this passage, we see that there is a season of death that they are coming out of. There's been a winter season. Some of you picked up my book, Mastering Your Seasons. I talk a lot about spiritual seasons versus natural seasons. You understand that when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, he was creating time to put us into, which tells us that God is outside of time, which means everything I'm experiencing within my calendar or within my watch, God is doing a thing outside of that. Right? So it's a difference between chronos timing or kairos timing. The chronos timing is the chronological timing in which we live. The kairos timing is the God timing. It's the for such a time as this. It's those seasons when you feel like you can't miss, right? You know, everything you do is turning to gold. And those are those kinds of seasons. And I believe that where we live in a chronological time like this, God is constantly moving and weaving in and out. And there are those times where you feel like you collide, right? Where your timing collides with God's timing. And those are those times where you're like, man, I feel like such a winner right now. I'm like, I cannot miss, right? And so he's basically saying the season of death has come to the end, and we are coming to life. We are moving from winter into spring, and everything is coming to life. And what I felt like the Lord is saying is, ladies, you are in season. This is your season. And he spoke specifically, the smell of the new fruit is the smell of new fruit is in the air, and much like the outpouring of new wine, I am looking for those who are willing to flex, come on, to be flexible with the creativity of the Holy Spirit for this new season. I'm going to say that again because I felt like the Lord was very specific in this. The smell of new fruit is in the air. The smell of new fruit, and much like the outpouring of the new wine, you remember the new wine, he was looking for a new wineskin that would move and would flex with the growth and the mobility and the movement of the yeast that is in wine. I'm telling us that that wine is alive. It's growing, it's changing, it's molding. And let me tell you what, religion doesn't like that, right? Religion wants a wall. But God is saying, I'm coming into a season and I'm bringing you into a season where there is a new fruit, and I am looking for those who are willing to flex with the creativity of the Holy Spirit. And that's good news. But that means we may not be doing things the way we did them yesterday. And some people will not like that. That means we have to be willing to not have the full picture, but creatively just move and trust the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for people who are willing to flex with the new fruit, the fragrance of life. You are coming into season. And here's the thing we know about God. When he's doing a thing, he's doing a thing. And you can get on board or you can miss it. But either way, he's doing a thing. And I say that because I like to stir a little FOMO up in the room. But I don't want to get left behind. When God is doing a thing, he's looking for people. And some say yes and some say no. Some people are so comfortable. That brings us back to number two, which is it's time to get up and go. I want to take a look at this word rise up. That word rise up means to get up, to become powerful, and more specifically means to come onto the scene. I'm going to say that again because all throughout Scripture we hear this word arise. They arose to rise up. And what it really means is they're coming onto the scene. And what the enemy wants is for you not to be on the scene. He wants you to be irrelevant, right? Like they tossed Jonah off the boat because they deemed him irrelevant in their time of crisis. He deemed himself irrelevant in the time of crisis. But he's saying, when you rise up, that means I'm coming onto the scene. I'm waking up and I'm saying, you better look out, devil, because I'm coming onto the scene. It means I'm waking up and I'm like, you better look out, Satan, because I have arisen. I have gotten up. I am moving. And then that second part is come away. And it literally means to go, but more specifically, it means to depart from. And this is where it gets hard. Because what I heard the Lord say with this is, to come away with me means you might have to leave where you're at to go to a new place. You might have to leave where you're at. To go where God is taking you must be willing to leave where you are at. This is hard because a lot of us have built up our walls. If you remember, I'm going to go back to verses 8 and 9 where he says, behold, my beloved comes leaping upon the mountains. Now, I love this. I got to do the visual. I like to do the visual because I think it's great. But I want you to picture mountains and God's like, I'm coming. Here I come for you. Dun, 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 dun. And he's just like, dun, 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 like a gazelle, just leaping over the mountains. But then he comes to our walls. And what I want you to know is God's love will leap over mountains and he will meet you where you're at, but he will not invade you. Wow. He will not invade you because he stands there looking through the lattice on the other side of your wall and is saying, come away with me. Yeah. Get up and go. Let's get up and go. Where are we going? I don't know. But you know what? I don't find my peace in knowing where I'm going. What I find my peace in knowing is that he says, come away with me. Because if God is with me, I don't need to know where I'm going. Yeah. Because if God is with me, I'm right where I need to be. Yeah. Right? A lot of times people are like, should I pick this path or should I pick this path? I just want to know what God wants. And I'm like, girl, just pick a path. It's not about the path. God doesn't bless a path. God blesses a person. Yeah. Right? And it says it delights the Father to bless you. So pick a path. And if it's wrong, he'll bless it anyways. Because he delights to bless you. Or he'll correct you, renavigate you, bring you back around to it. Just pick a path. Because when the enemy wants you to be like, I don't know what's happening. And then we do nothing. We get frozen with paralyzed. Is that too real for you? Yes, it's so true. Yeah. We do nothing. We call it analysis paralysis. I'm just waiting on the Lord. And I'm like, girl, he's waiting on you. You know? So if we go back to this, God will he will leap over mountains. He will sweep like a gazelle, but then he will come to your wall and he will say, will you come out? He will invite you. And here's where it gets hard, because it's difficult to leave our comfortable spaces. It's difficult to leave what's familiar. I just started my 8th book, and it's called West Side Story, and it's off of the conference that we had this last fall. We're having another conference coming up this spring. I would love for you guys to come. I think registration is open, am I correct? Registration is open. It's called There Is a Super on Your Natural. You could get a Groupon, actually. So we're going to be talking about how there is a super on your natural. But West Side Story was all about the 2.5 tribes that settled on the east side of the Jordan River. In Numbers chapter 13, they come to the Jordan River for the first time. They go and they get the fruit. And they're like, oh, check out all the fruit. God is, surely God is, he is real and he has not lied to us. But there are these giants in that land. And if you remember, they're like, we're not going to cross over. So they wait 40 years. 40 years waiting for their second chance. And they get there, and 2.5 of the tribes are like, hey, yeah, we see there's a land over there. There's a land on the other side of the Jordan. But this land seems good to us. Do not take us across the Jordan. And they settle in a good land, but they miss out on the God land. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the key phrase in there is, this land which we can see seems good enough to us. That's what they say in Numbers chapter 30. This land which we can see is good enough. We're familiar with it. Our children have already taken up root here. We already know the ways of this land. We're not sure what's on the other side of the Jordan. So don't take us outside of the wall of our comfortability. And a lot of times when we hear the invitation for God saying, get up and go, it means I'm going to have to come out from behind my comfortable spaces. It means I'm going to have to be a little uncomfortable. I often say that your comfort zone will determine your capacity. And if you want to stretch, or you want to be stretched by the Lord, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable. So he says, come away with me. You don't need to know where you're going. Rather, rest in knowing that he is with you. I believe God is calling people in this room to take that risk. I believe this is a very specific word for this room. I can't reach my mouse pad. Finally, in this entire passage, I hear the sound of intimacy. Now, the definition of intimacy is also very uncomfortable because it means a close familiarity, a private, cozy atmosphere, and it denotes something of a private and personal matter. Now, isn't it true that intimacy takes courage? It requires transparency. It requires vulnerability. It is a space that is raw and vulnerable and hard and uncomfortable sometimes. Yeah. But I believe that we are heading into a spiritual season that is more fruitful than before. But to reap this fruit will require more intimacy with the Father.
Amen.
It will require more vulnerability. Amen. It will require being willing to go deeper than you've ever gone before. Amen. You think you've hit the depths of the Spirit and you haven't scratched the surface.
Wow.
You haven't even scratched the surface. So I expect that people are having deeper and closer encounters with God through the Holy Spirit, and a fresh revelation of His love is falling upon people across the earth at this point. And I believe that that is what the Lord wants for you in this room tonight. It doesn't matter how mature you are in the Spirit, how much you've encountered Him, how deeply He has touched you. God is saying, we are in a new season where I'm going to do a new intimate work, a new deeper intimate work. Many of you have felt the call to ministry and feel as though God is saying that your ministry, and I feel as though God is saying that your ministry will be birthed out of your intimacy with God. So a lot of times when we feel called to ministry, we start looking outward. We start looking around us, and God is saying, your ministry is not birthed around you. It's birthed from within you. And the more you cultivate intimacy with the Holy Spirit, the more that ministry will come up and out of you. Let me give you some examples from Scripture. The woman anointing the feet of Jesus had an intimate encounter with God. She had a one-on-one. She had a face-to-face. Nobody else in the room in that room mattered in that moment. Mary versus Martha. She had a personal, intimate encounter with God. That was real. That was raw. That was vulnerable. Every one of these women that I'm going to list to you had a one-on-one encounter with God. They had their own moment of intimacy. I'm going to say that again. They had their own moment of intimacy.
Yeah.
Because while Mary was at the feet of Jesus, Martha was probably in the other room trying to overhear the revelation.
Yeah.
Come on, and some of us listen to podcasts and we read books and we come to church and we live on the revelation of somebody else and we've never had our own intimate encounter with God.
Yeah. Come on.
And that's what God is changing. He's saying, if you want an intimate encounter with me, pursue me, because I want to meet you where you're at and I want you to have your own revelation. I don't want you to be Martha in the other room watching people have revelations.
Yeah.
I want you to be like Mary. I want you to have your own encounter. I want to meet with you face to face. The woman at the well, an adulteress, or a woman who is not caught in the act of adultery. She's got five men who she's never been her husband, whatever the story is. And here it is again, this raw, vulnerable moment. And in that moment, there's a ministry that pops up out of her. A woman who wouldn't go to the well when all the other people were there because of shame and rejection in her life suddenly is transformed in a moment, and she goes and begins to boast about a man who's told her everything she's ever done. Not only does she boast about Jesus, but she brings up the unspeakable elephant in her life that everybody already knows about. Something shifted in her in that moment because she had her own encounter with Christ. Because she had her own encounter with Christ. Let's talk about Hagar in the wilderness. You talk about a risk. You talk about a get up and go. I've been abused. I've been neglected. I was sexually used. And then I was cast out into the wilderness for doing everything I was asked to do. And in that place, God meets with her. He blesses her. He speaks her name. If you remember, that's the first time you hear the word Jehovah Roi, right? The God, she actually says this, I now see the God who first saw me. I now am encountering a God who's been looking at me this entire time. But here's the get up and go that she was called to. Go back to that house. That's risky. That's vulnerable. But she got up and she went back. And that ministry, that ability, that motivation to get up and go came out of her encounter with God. Now, how about Mary at the tomb? I love this one. Mary at the tomb, whom, by the way, caught a glimpse of Jesus after Peter and John were too in a hurry to, they missed it, right? So she lingered. She catches a glimpse. And when he speaks her name, right? At first she thinks he's the gardener, but when he speaks her name, suddenly she catches it. That's intimacy. When you know my Father is whispering my name. When you know the voice of your lover. When you know he spoke my name. And her get up and go was go back and tell all the men in the upper room. Get up and go. That's what he's saying, but it's going to come out of your own intimacy. About the woman caught in the act of adultery. There's nothing more raw and vulnerable in this moment. We don't know, but it's possible this woman was naked. We don't really know. But what we know is everybody, I mean, the Bible says when everybody had left and Jesus was left with her. You talk about an intimate moment. You can't have an encounter with Jesus like that and not be changed. You cannot have an, if you are working to change something in your life super hard and it's become laborious, stop trying and start encountering. Yeah. Stop trying on the outside. Get in your closet, get on your face and tell the Lord, I'm not leaving here until I have an encounter with you. You don't have to do it at church. You can do it in your closet. You can do it wherever you want. But you need an encounter with God, because it is encounter with God that transforms you and changes you. And it is permanent. It changes you. It leaves a mark in your life that cannot be erased. All of these ladies were motivated by their intimacy with God. They got up and they went because intimacy changed them. Intimacy changed them. There is a change of seasons where God is intensifying, I'm telling you, he's intensifying his intimacy with his people. Places that were dead in your relationship with the Lord are going to come to life. Come on, because it's possible to walk with the Lord but still have some hidden dead spaces. Is it just me? Not just me. All right. And God wants to bring those places to life. But you know what that's going to require? It's going to require you to drop some walls. It's going to require you to come out. It's going to require you to possibly just stand naked before the Lord and say, here I am. Take me or leave me. And he's going to take every bit of you. The more you surrender to him. So tonight, you have an invitation to come out from behind your wall and encounter his love in a fresh way. What I don't want you to do is put the cart before the horse and try to stir yourself up in your own flesh. That's frustrating. I've been there. I've done that. We want to let God's love stir you to get up and go.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to click subscribe so you can catch each episode every month. I want you to walk in your fullness. For more information about other services and resources, head to my website at www.lisa-schwartz.com. You can also find me on YouTube by searching Lisa Schwartz LLC. I look forward to connecting with you. Remember, enforcing purpose, it starts with you.